Making Witches, Newfoundland Traditions of Spells and Counterspells. Written by Barbara Rietti, narrated by Anita Best and Kenzie Dello. Dedication for Martin and John. Acknowledgements. It seems strange to begin a list of acknowledgements with people who cannot be named, but it is my informants who made this book possible. To everyone who let me into their homes and lives, patiently answered questions, and helped me find other people to pester, you all have my deepest gratitude, not only for the information, but for the chance to spend time as one should in Newfoundland, that is, in the kitchen, telling stories. I was lucky to have as my companion on many of these occasions Martin Lovelace, who has been unflagging in support of this project, and 20-plus years is a long time not to flag. During those early field trips, he was busy tending to small John Rietti Lovelace. Now John is a journalist and editor, whose energy was an inspiration to take the manuscript off the shelf. During its long incubation, portions of it benefited greatly from being read by Marianne Stopp and Philip Hiscock. I've had helpful discussions with almost all my friends, but must particularly mention Janet McNaughton, Diane Tighe, and Pauline Greenhill. I could always depend on encouragement from the crowd in California, weird sisters Janet Rietti Johnson and Nancy Rietti, and old friends Peter Mond, Monique Young, fellow students at Berkeley, and William Gross. At Memorial University, I'm indebted to the contributors to the Folklore and Language Archive, on whose work I have so heavily drawn. In the Folklore Department office, Sharon Cochran and Cindy Turpin are ever resourceful, whether it's a printer problem or a sudden need for tea. The archivist Patricia Fulton and staff were unfailingly helpful. Generous postdoctoral support from the Institute for Social and Economic Research and from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada, made the field research possible. Subventions from the Memorial University Publications Subvention Program and the Aid to Scholarly Publications Program made this publication possible. At McGill Queen's University Press, Philip Cherkoni's optimism and advice were much appreciated at a critical stage, and Joan McGilvray has been patient with plaintive emails over minute matters. Claire K. Gigante's editing helped enormously with form and detail. It is a pleasure to list a fraction of my debts here and to think of the many people who have helped me over two decades, even if it was not in direct connection with the book. One cannot work on the subject too long without an appreciation of the bonds of affection and exchange. Introduction. In 1729, all witchcrafts, enchantments, sorceries, magic arts were among the possible offences listed in a document for the appointment of justices of the peace throughout the island of Newfoundland in America. Note 1. 6 years later, official belief in witchcraft was discarded by English law, but witch lore flourished for centuries more and continued to be imported as vigorously as salt or twine. It was baggage from the earliest days. In 1609, Basque women accused in a massive witch trial confessed to having traveled through the air to attend satanic assemblies in Terre-Neuve, perching atop ship's masts, poisoning the catch as it dried on the shore, and sinking ships. Note 2. All the Europeans who came to exploit the fisheries, the English and the Irish, who made up the majority of settlers, as well as the French, Channel Islanders, Basque, Portuguese, and Scots, brought witch tales, if not witches, that proved to be hardy transplants. Stories of spells became staples of oral tradition in outport societies, where a great many women, and some men too, acquired the epithet witch. Their names, unlike those of their counterparts in Europe or early America, appear in no court records until university-based ethnographic research
Sample complete. Ready to continue?